morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Tuesday, June 27th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Partial results are announced for Sierra Leone's general elections.
These results represent 60% of total polling stations' results processed each district. The results are partial and do not represent the complete outcome of the presidential election.
Sierra Leone's main opposition All People's Congress Party rejects preliminary results of the vote. Meanwhile, the APC demands an investigation into the alleged police killing of its supporter. Will the Wagner Group's brief rebellion in Russia have an impact on Africa? The state seizes properties linked to former Zambian President Edgar Lungu.
The law enforcement agencies are seizing assets of people belonging to the Patriotic Front, to the family of the former president, just as a political witch hunt.
And a Zambian activist launches a project to buy pillows for a hospital in the capital, Lusaka. Those stories and more are coming up on Daybreak Africa. The Chief Electoral Commission of Sierra Leone has released 60% of the total results from Saturday's voting. The tally gives a lead to incumbent President Julius Maada Bio of the Sierra Leone People's Party over Samora Camara of the opposition All People's Congress Party. As Kelvin Lewis reports from Freetown, Sierra Leone, the African Union and Commonwealth observers have pronounced the voting process credible, although with some issues.
The Chief Electoral Commissioner of the Electoral Commission for Sierra Leone, Mohamed Kone, has announced partial results for last Saturday's elections.
These results represent 60% of total polling stations' results processed each district. Clear by the Electoral Commission for Sierra Leone and the Results Management System at regional tally centers in Freetown, Bou, Kenema, Makini, and Poloko. The results detailed below are partial and do not represent the complete outcome of the presidential election.
The results were for 1.9 million votes, which gave a lead of 55.86% to incumbent Maada Bio of the SLPP and 41.53% to his main challenger, Samora Camara of the APC. President Bio, in a nationwide address, called for calm and patience, urging all to wait for the final results. Mohamed Rahman Suare is the media campaign chairman for the ruling Sierra Leone People's Party. He says they are happy with the results so far.
We are very excited because it clearly puts His Excellency President Julius Maada Bio in the lead, something we had predicted from our internal tallying process. But like you have heard, His Excellency himself has called for calm, he's called for patience, as the only legally constituted body, the ECSL, continues the announcement of presidential and other election results.
The opposition All People's Congress, or APC party, has issued a press release dismissing the results. Meanwhile, the ECOWAS, African Union, and the Commonwealth Observer Group have jointly addressed the press on their preliminary findings. ECOWAS team lead, Dr. Ibn Chambers, read out their conclusion.
The mission notes that despite some early challenges, polling generally proceeded smoothly and in a largely peaceful atmosphere, and eligible voters were able to freely participate in the process. The mission commends the sense of patriotism exhibited by polling staff, the security forces, the general populace, who collectively played their part in ensuring a peaceful conduct of the 2023 general elections.
The African Union and Commonwealth election observers mentioned delays at the start of the polls, skirmishes and infractions, but ended up commending the generally peaceful nature of the elections. For VOA Africa, I'm Kelvin Lewis reporting from Freetown, Sierra Leone.
Sierra Leone's main opposition, All People's Congress, the APC party, has rejected the preliminary results announced on Monday by the Electoral Commission of Sierra Leone, the ECSL. Sidi Yaya Tunis is the APC National Publicity Secretary. He tells me the APC is rejecting the results because they are what he calls faked and cooked up and were never verified by APC field representatives.
A party put out a statement clearly informing the world that we will not accept that result. We feel it has been skewed It does not reflect the votes that came in from those districts, especially districts that are in the north and also the western area, which is the capital. In the first place, the ECSL did not inform us as a political party that they were going to announce results. And secondly, they did the announcement in a way that they presented 60% of the total vote cast without first giving us the breakdown of that 60%. And then later, they sent out a breakdown that based on our own analysis and the results that we have entered from the RRF forms that came from the field, they do not match with the data that he's presented to the world as 60% partial results, as he called it.
According to the Elections Commission, these are just preliminary results. And if the figures I'm looking at are correct, the incumbent president is leading your party by a wide margin. So
yeah, that is the concern, because like I said, we do not know where the 60% came from. Yes, he has sent a breakdown in a manner in which it is not reflective of what we have collated. We know for a fact that whatever figures that Mr. Kone has announced so far does not reflect the votes, or do not reflect the votes that were cast in those districts. That one I can tell you for sure.
So if you will not accept these preliminary results, what is next for you?
Well, we have our results all based on the RRFs that came from the polling stations where the actual voting took place. And we have compiled our results. We are giving out our full analysis. That is one. Secondly, we have analyzed the results that is being presented by Mr. Kone. He is saying the results reflect 60% of the votes from each district. Based on our analysis, we have found out that if we are to go by his results, some results that are in, based on the figures that he gave for some districts, reflect way more than 60%. Some districts may be in their 70s or 80s. So for him to just say this is 60% of the total votes that was cast that we have tallied per district, that is not correct.
Sidi Yaya Tunis is the National Publicity Secretary of the opposition All People's Congress Party of Sierra Leone. He was speaking with me from the capital, Freetown. In Sierra Leone, the main opposition All People's Congress, the APC party, is demanding an investigation into the alleged shooting death of one of its supporters at the party headquarters in the capital, Freetown. The APC blames police officer who, it says, shot live bullets and tear gas at the party headquarters while supporters gather for a press conference of presidential candidate Samura Kamara. Abdoulaye Berete is a spokesperson for the presidential campaign team of main opposition leader Kamara. He tells viewers Peter Clotty that those responsible for the use of what he calls excessive force leading to the deaths of unnamed opposition supporters must be held accountable.
We need an independent panel comprising local and international people who are very much committed to upholding human rights and the rule of law in particularly developing countries like Sierra Leone. The attack on our party yesterday was unprovoked. We are all there ready to hold a press conference. All the international media and local were already seated. And all of a sudden, we started being fired at with tear gas and live bullets, including the killing in cold blood of one of our matrons in the party, One Hour Dumbuya, who was seated right in the party office, not even on the streets. We are not in a war. Elections is not supposed to be like a civil war. A lot of people are enduring even the presence of armed military and OSD personnel on the streets of the city under the guise of maintaining peace and security was a false pretense.
Abdoulaye Berete, the report we are hearing is that the supporters of APC, while celebrating news that they are winning the election, started blocking streets, started behaving unruly, attacking people. And that is why the police had to come in and enforce the law to ensure there's law and order and peace.
That was a concocted narrative just a few days ago. They also came to our party office. They did the same thing. Fired Tiagos on us, arrested our Secretary General. They killed Ishmael Bangura, a young boy, not even at the party premises. So this story cannot hold on. The reason being, how can we be jubilating and at the same time blocking traffic? The two will never match. For us, we continue to call for peace. We continue to exercise restraint as a party. And besides, a lot of people came to the party to just commensurate with us. They were not members of the APC.
Abdullahi Barete, this is what people are saying, that the APC has been peddling false information about you winning the election. And that is what is creating tension. That is what is allowing supporters of the APC to cause trouble. That forces the police to step in to try to maintain law and order.
I only wish they would have also gone to the SLPP office at Wallace Johnson Street, where they were also jubilating, because to them they were having favorable results from their own perceived strongholds. Why didn't the police go there? Why were the streets blocked on Wallace Johnson Street, but nobody went there to fire tear gas on the supporters of the SLPP? Why is it always on the APC as a party? And I will categorically state that because of the population that came to our office, the traffic was slower, but we saw military men controlling the traffic with no disruption. Why would they want to even build a story? And besides, if traffic was blocked, would that warrant people to fire tear gas right in the office?
Abdullahi Barete is the spokesperson for the presidential campaign team of Sierra Leone main opposition leader Samura Kamara. He was speaking with VOA's Peter Clotte from Freetown. You're listening to Daybreak Africa on The Voice of America. I am James Barty in Washington. Today is Tuesday, June 27th. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Analysts say it's too early to assess how the Wagner Group's operations in Africa will be affected after its leader, Yevgeny Prigozhin, threatened to lead troops into Moscow over the weekend before backing off. VOA's Africa correspondent Mariama Diallo has the story.
The U.S. Treasury Department has designated the Wagner Group a private mercenary army, a criminal organization, and accused it of mass execution, rape, and physical abuse in the CAR, the Central African Republic, and Mali. After Wagner leader Yevgeny Prigozhin's brief rebellion in Russia over the weekend, analysts wonder what it might mean for some countries in Africa. Charles Boissel is a senior consultant for the International Crisis Group.
In Bangui, we observed since yesterday an unusual robust armed patrol of the Central African Army, and this showed that the Bangui regime fears armed action linked to which may be linked to the situation in Russia.
Abdoulaye Diarra, a researcher at Amnesty International, explains the role of Wagner in the Central African Republic.
Wagner plays an important role in the CAR security system. This role has increased since the attack on Bangui in December 2020 by a group called Coalition of Patriots for Change, in French, Coalition of Patriots pour le Changement, which brought together several armed groups and was led by former President Bozizé. And they managed to oust the armed group from CPC.
With the recent announcement of a constitutional referendum in July, which may allow current CAR's Faustin Archange Touadéra to run for a third term, Diarra says the Bangui government doesn't have the capacity to operate without the help of Wagner forces.
Today, the situation is still fragile and attacks continue in the country with major human rights violations documented on all sides. And the Central African Armed Force need this support to hold their ground.
While the Wagner chief has been critical of the Russian Defense Ministry's handling of the Ukraine war, its operations in the CAR wouldn't be possible without the Russian Defense Ministry, says the International Crisis Group's Boissel.
Has been delivered by a plane of the Russian Armed Force.
Whether Prigozhin remains Wagner's chief might not make a difference. There may be others who could replace him, said Boissel. For now, it's hard to predict what's going to happen in the CAR or other countries, both analysts told VOA. Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Nairobi.
The lawyer for Zambia's former president, Edgar Lungu, has denounced the government takeover of some 20 properties linked to his family, calling it a political witch hunt. Zambia's current president has been cracking down on corruption, but critics say he is targeting political opponents. Kathy Schwartz reports from Lusaka.
The government officially seized the properties from the Lungu family last week. They include 15 two-story flats, a three-story lodge, a farm, and a house. The properties were seized under the 2010 forfeiture of proceeds of crime law, which allows the state to seize assets it believes were acquired through illegal means. Former President Lungu's lawyer, Makebi Zulu, told VOA that neither he nor his clients have been served with notice on any process before any court regarding the asset seizures. In talking to law enforcement agencies since the investigation began last year, Zulu said his clients have provided sufficient explanation for how they acquired the properties. He said the state is deliberately withholding that information to embarrass Lungu, wife Esther, and their children.
We are confident that we are standing on firm ground. Our clients are innocent of everything that they are alleging. As a matter of fact, we are disappointed that they're not getting down to investigate matters as they ought to.
In an interview with VOA, Emmanuel Mwamba, a spokesman for Lungu's Patriotic Front Party, accused the government of abusing the law. Mwamba lamented that the properties in question were seized before investigations were finalized.
The law enforcement agencies are seizing assets of people belonging to the Patriotic Front, to the family of the former president, just as a political witch hunt.
The Zambian Director of Public Prosecutions, Gilbert Piri, has warned that the government will clamp down on corruption until it stops.
That the wheels of recovering assets may appear to grind slowly, but they will grind anyway. We are not oblivious to attacks and maneuvers to derail the fight against crime and asset recovery. The posture we take is to talk softly, but always carry a very big stick.
Boniface Chembe is executive director of the Southern African Center for the Constructive Resolution of Disputes, a human rights NGO. He says while the current government campaigned on its anti-corruption agenda, he hopes prosecutors will not be one-sided.
We hope it will not divide the country further, or at least it will not be seen as a continued wage of war between the incumbent president and the former president. Institutions be allowed to play their role, and that once everything has been done, that justice prevails.
Critics of President Hakainde Hichilema say while his government has instituted arrests and investigations into alleged corrupt activities by leaders of the previous regime, they have not secured any convictions. The president insists that the fight against corruption is not meant to victimize his political opponents. Kathy Short for VOA News, Lusaka, Zambia.
A Zambian gender activist has launched a project to buy pillows for the university teaching hospital, the largest in the capital, Lusaka. Beauty Katete has been working with the facility for 2 years as head of the Human Resource Department. She plans to retire effective October 23rd, and as part of her retirement plan, she wants to purchase and donate as many pillows as she can afford to the hospital. Katete says the cost of one Rexing-covered pillow is 150 Zambian kwacha, or U.S. $8. She tells me that while making rounds at the medical center, she would notice the patients had no pillows.
My retirement date is 23rd October 2023. But then when I looked at the fact that I'm exiting, I was thinking I needed to give a gift to the hospital. So I planned to give the hospital about 100 pillows, because when you go around the hospital, you'll find that 90% of the beds in the hospital do not have pillows. So it's something that I was always imagining I would do something about. I wanted to give 100 pillows, as I said initially, but just 3 days ago, I thought, okay, 100 with a total of 800 bed space, it may just be a drop in the ocean. So started thinking, there is a concept here in Zambia. When you are having a wedding, you will engage your friends to donate. And so I thought, if that can work with a wedding reception, I think it can work if people heard that I'm trying to donate the pillows to the hospital, and maybe they can come on board and try to help.
So what has been the response?
The response has been so overwhelming. In the last 3 days, I have received money to a tune of getting 100 pillows. And people are still pledging that they can still come through. And I'm now imagining that we may end up getting the full capacity of the bed space. But for now, my target is to get pillows for the patients. If I'll manage to get for the full bed spaces that are in the hospital, I will be very happy.
So, Beauty, for anyone who might want to contribute to this project, for example, how much is a single pillow in Zambian terms? How can they contribute?
Okay. The pillow is 150 kwacha, which is roughly $7 to $8. That is one piece. If anyone would want to contribute to that, they can either contact me. I didn't know the response was going to be overwhelming, but I still created a group where everyone that is pledging and making a contribution, I'm putting them on that WhatsApp group so that they can monitor the process up to the end. So I received a donation for 50 pillows from a lady in South Africa. She used World Remit, and my anchor mobile is Airtel, and I'm using the same number that I am using now. If you are outside Zambia, you can use World Remit if you like, and it's supposed to be the anchor mobile facility is Airtel, and then the number is +26097779366.
Beauty, thank you so much again, and congratulations. I wish you all the luck with your project.
Thank you so much for having me.
Beauty Katete is a Zambian gender activist and soon to retire head of the Human Resource Department at the University Teaching Hospital in Lusaka. Somali refugees are heading to Dadaab refugee camps in Kenya to register for IDs in hopes of securing relocation to the U.S. and other Western countries. The rush follows the creation of a program that allows Americans to sponsor migrants arriving through the U.S. Refugee Admissions Program. Juma Majanga reports from the Dadaab camps.
It's a beehive of activity at the Dadaab refugee camps in northeastern Kenya as the newly arrived register for refugee IDs. Since late last year, the camps have seen more refugees from the neighboring Somalia who are escaping drought and hunger. As John Burugu, the Commissioner for Refugees Affairs in Kenya, explains.
The numbers currently are 135,000 profiled and undergoing registration in Dadaab, with an influx of about 2,000 per day, and it's high. That's a high number.
Early this year, the U.S. government launched the Welcome Corps, a private sponsorship program that allows Americans to assist refugees arriving through the U.S. Refugee Admissions Program and support their resettlement and integration in the United States. At one of the temporary resettlements for newly arrived and registered refugees, Nurtu Hussein is pondering her next move. Having fled food insecurity in Somalia, the mother of seven says she hopes to resettle in the U.S. She says she wants to go to America so she can find work and provide for her children. Her children are malnourished and suffering, she says. If they go to the U.S., they will get medical support and other important services they need. She says she cannot continue keeping her children in the camp conditions because they may not survive. A few meters away is Abdi Osman's homestead. He says life in Somalia became unbearable after he lost all his livestock to drought. He, his wife, and nine children moved to the camp to seek help. Seated with his wife and children, Osman says that America is the land of opportunity and that he has seen refugees who have been given the opportunity to resettle in the U.S. improve their lives after they get there. Juma Majanga for VOA News, Dadaab Refugee Camps, Kenya.
And that's it for this Tuesday, June 27th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for spending your morning with us on behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew. I am James Botti in Washington, wishing that you will have an amazing Tuesday.